This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong. Now, in light of the recent news that Datuk Seri Nazir Tun Razak is stepping down from his nearly three decades at CIMB, the question of how companies transition between leaders, especially long-term leaders, seemed pertinent to ask. Today, I speak to Roshan Thiran from Leadernomics all about long-term leadership, the ups, the downs, and how to prepare for an eventual succession. So first of all, Roshan, what was your reaction to hearing the news about Nazir Razak?
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, to me, I was not superly surprised by Nazir Razak. I mean, I think the issue, Jack Ma sort of preceded it a couple of weeks earlier when he shockingly announced that he was leaving Alibaba. But I think this happens, right? I mean, leaders come, leaders build, leaders, sort of flourish for a while, and then at some point in time, they need to pass the baton over to the next level of leaders to take the organization to the next level.
Right, okay. I think that's a good point about the foreshadowing we got from Jack Ma's retirement as well. So, in general, do you think long-term leadership is good or bad, and why?
No, I think you see that there are two kinds of leaders today. The guys that build organizations and quickly sell it, you know, there's a quick exit. Whereas there's others that, you know, who say, okay, I'm going to invest 20, 30, 40 years to really build an organization. I don't say that's wrong or right. I mean, both are, you know, some people have the skill to sow the seed and to sort of sprout it. The others have the ability to build and grow it. So different people have different capabilities. But, you know, the guy that actually does the full stretch, at some point in time, they will have to exit. Because, I mean, we are all, you know, in terms of, at some point in time, we all go, right? I mean, Steve Jobs had to go. Everyone has to go at some point in time. So I think I like to see leaders invest deeply into one organization and build it. But at the same time, they also have to put in roots to ensure their succession and continuity, you know.
All right. And in line with that question of succession, is there a possible alternative to long-term leadership? Could we perhaps apply a cycle-based model like how the U.S. presidency works, for example?
Well, you see, business is slightly different, right? Because it's all about catching the idea and figuring out how to make that idea come about. So, you know, I was with a guy, Thrive, who's an African, now is a billionaire. But, I mean, he mentioned something. I mean, he had this idea of trying to put fiber across Africa, but it is a painstaking process, right? He had to win one country over and another country and another country. And I think it's the same with leaders, right? They have a vision and they say it may take them 15 years, 20 years, 30 years to get that to fruition. But the key is this, right? The roles may differ. So I think with Nazir, he was, you know, initially it was about building, you know, grow through acquisition, and then it's about consolidation. And then he was CEO for a while, and then he became chairman. And he said, look, I need to pass the reins over to Zafrul and the other guys. So I think there is, and we've seen the same with Walmart, we've seen, this, you know, Sam Walton, you know, different guys. At some point in time, they have to see their leadership, you know, in terms of the operational leadership, in terms of strategic leadership. And ultimately, even as chairman, the role differs. So I think it's a, you know, at some point in time, you have to see the chairmanship to somebody else, you know. So I think it's natural, and I don't think it's something that I don't agree that people need to move just for the sake of it. I mean, if the person is doing right and if they understand that they need to be innovative, they need to always be thinking out of the box, they need to be always looking at different things from different perspectives, they can continue to lead, you know. It's only when you start becoming stale and boxed up, and when you say that this is the way and I did it before and that's the way it is, that's when you start to see that organizations lose their bearing.
So I guess what you're saying is that change for change's sake isn't advisable, right?
Absolutely, yep.
All right, so what is the actual effect of losing a leader that has been around for such a long time, especially one that has shaped a company's vision, like you said?
You see, that's a tough one, because I think a lot of who the company is and what the company is built around is based on the leader. So when you lose a leader like that, process of relinquishing your leadership needs to be something that, you know, it's planned. So I think with Jack Ma, you know, saying that, look, I'm taking it's going to be a year, and in the interim, you know, we've got this leader, and then, you know, what am I going to do to ensure that this leader has full authority, at the same time be able to mentor and guide the person Again, I'm not sure what the steps are at CIMB to ensure the transition works well, but usually the worst is when you lose a leader, you know, suddenly through sudden death, where that nothing is institutionalized in terms of a process of transition. So that's where it becomes a little bit more difficult.
Okay, we'll go back to the effect of the leader and succession planning in a bit, but from the company's perspective, how can a company or team adjust to an incoming leader or manager?
Yeah, so I think the key is about the new vision, right? So I think the new leadership needs to provide clarity to employees, to stakeholders that, hey, you know, we've reached this milestone with this past leadership. You know, here's the next, you know, foot in the ground, or here's the next milestone that we need to hit. And this is the big vision for the organization. I think with the leader goes, you know, essentially the vision of. And I think Nazir said this, right? My goal was to build CIMB into an ASEAN superpower, and I've done that. So what's the next vision? What's the next milestone? And I think if there's clarity and excitement around the new vision, and the leadership team starts to build the right processes, the right structures, the right culture, the right leadership to enable them, and the business model to enable them to get to this new level, this will be essentially, I think, again, it's not simple. I mean, it's never easy. It's never a walk in the park when there's transition. But it becomes a lot easier when there's clarity around that this is the next game that we're playing, and this is the right leadership to take us forward.
Right. So let's actually focus on that fact that it isn't a walk in the park to adjust to a change, you know, for a long held position as well. So let's talk about this. How can the incoming leader adjust to the team as well?
So in this case, I think Zafro's been running, at least in Malaysia, the show, and the different country leaders have been running the show. So I think in an operating capacity, maybe there won't be too much changes. But I think in a strategic capacity, where you know, it's vision, where it's, you know, where do we take the organization in the broader sense, in the macro sense, I think again, it's really about the person being appointed, you know, as the new chairman, and, you know, who are the new leaders, and really how he is able to quickly pull the team together to be able to buy into the vision. I mean, there's going to be initial skepticism, like, is this guy able to fill in the shoes? And I mean, we saw that with Tim Cook with Apple, and so on, with Steve Ballmer with Microsoft after Bill Gates left. But to break that skepticism, that there needs to be quick bonds that are created by the new leader to the leadership team, and also to be able to be clear and articulating very clearly, this is the vision, and build the excitement and say, look, let's go in together and let's try and achieve this new dream. So I think that's the key. The key is the first, you know, I guess the first couple of quarters where you need to consolidate the team, you need to be able to energize the team, and you need to be able to give them hope and vision that, hey, going forward, it's going to be a far better game than, you know, going backwards.
All right, it's time for some music now. But after that, I'll continue speaking to Roshan Thiran all about long-term leadership and the process of preparing for leadership succession. So stay tuned to Raise Your Game on Enterprise here on BFM 89.9.
Because feelings matter. BFM 89.9.
I'm Christine Wong, and you are listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. Today, I'm speaking to Roshan Thiran from Leadonomics all about long-term leadership. This is in line with the recent news that Datuk Seri Nazir Tun Razak is stepping down from his 29-year tenure at CIMB. So before the break, Roshan, you mentioned a point that an incoming leader who is going to replace an outgoing long-term leader really needs to have a strong grasp on what their vision is and what the previous vision of the company was as well. And I'd imagine it might be difficult for companies to find candidates who can fill those shoes. So do you have any insight into how organizations replace the key personnel in a situation like this?
Yeah, so I mean, generally, most of them take the approach that there's always been somebody who has been riding along. Steve Jobs had Tim Cook, who was kind of always by his side and sort of, you know, would essentially understand the legacy that he built, but at the same time, had an ability to think about how do you create a new legacy. So different organizations take different approach. I mean, at GE, kind of had a competition between different key leaders to say who would rise up to take up this challenge. I think in this case, it's slightly easier in the sense that it's the chairmanship, and it's not the operating leadership. of the organization. So at one point, you're going to miss a big character like Nazeh, but at the same time, I think they have to really look hard and say, you know, it's folks that can appreciate the sort of history and legacy of how CIMB became what they are, but also have the authority or the confidence to say, hey, you know, this is where we are today, but really, here's the bigger dream, and be able to articulate it, be able to push it forward. So it's not easy to find such a person, but I would imagine, you know, by his announcement and so on, I think they probably would have been ready for it. But again, he's transitioned from CEO to chairman, and I'm pretty sure they would have been thinking about this for the last couple of years. So there's probably, the board would probably have been, you know, thinking about all these things. And any time there is a, you know, very critical position, usually in bigger organizations, most of the time there's part put together to think in the case of, you know, mishap or anything that might happen, who would be the right person to step in. So I would suspect that they would have some folks that they are already lining up to say, hey, here are possibilities that could step in and be able to do that things that we need to do to take the bank forward.
Yeah, that's actually a really great point that you've made about this particular case that I believe you've actually mentioned a few times throughout the show. With this particular case, Nazeh Razak started to delegate and take on different portfolios that allowed him to kind of take a step back over the years, which must help in terms of succession planning.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I was just reading, Hamida was sharing, but that the HR person was about them. They just won one of the, they're one of the top 100 most diverse banks or organizations in the world. So, you know, in spite of him not having an operating control, they still continue to be chugging along pretty fine, I think.
Yeah. And do you think that most organizations in Malaysia have a succession plan, especially for, you know, big companies like Alibaba, Apple and CIMB?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think the answer is no. You know, having actually worked with a couple of organizations who've asked me to come in to sort of help them through thinking through succession. So I think the answer may not necessarily be a yes completely or empathetically. But I think what is happening is that more and more as some of these leaders age, they're starting to look at their mortality and starting to say, hey, you know, I need to put in a succession. And maybe it's not my children. Maybe it's, you know, some of them are saying, look, let me pass the organization to you know, to family and stuff. But, you know, as they start to go deeper, they realize that, hey, maybe it may be better to bring in, you know, professional managers. It may be better to bring in folks that, you know, are in our shop today and help them to grow up to become better leaders. So there are, I think they're thinking about it, but, you know, whether the plans are firm or, I'm not so sure at this point, but the good news is I think many organizations are starting to think about it.
Right. And do you think that this initiative is started by the leader themselves or more by the administration or the HR departments?
I think it has to be at the board level. I mean, a lot of these dialogues, you know, again, at a leadership team level, at a management team level, yes, you know, HR would probably push this matter on a yearly basis to say, hey, you know, if I got a CTO and digital is a huge, you know, a part of our business, we need to be thinking, you know, if this guy goes, what happens if this lady goes? But I think at a senior leadership level, you know, the board really should be thinking through this. And I know there are some boards I've spent time with a couple of boards that are very keen on, you know, looking at not just the board positions, but also senior leaders' positions to really talk about, you know, if it were ever to happen that, you know, one of these critical positions, some mishap or something happens, you know, how do we go about ensuring business as usual and business continuity, you know, and really not jeopardize the business? Because, again, a lot of companies build their business around people, and we keep saying, you know, you have to build your business around processes. I always believe that processes are much more important than people. But if you do the process right, you actually help people and you actually enable people to thrive, you know, and grow. So it's really about building the right processes. So and succession planning is one of a part of a process that has to be built in many organizations. You know?
Okay. And finally, as a leader, you know, if you are a leader who is a long-term leader and is, you know, planning on leaving your company, how might you make that transition easier for your company?
Yeah, I you know, I've been running my organization for a long time now too. So one of the things that you do is you transition folks into to you give away your roles, right? I mean, so you know, initially you may be controlling a huge part of the organization. After a while, you start to say, hey, maybe this part, you know, you push it to somebody, you pass the responsibility, you pass the accountability. And as time goes on, as you start to strip the power that you have, as you start to give away the power, right, and you start to realize that you have less and less authority or power, what happens is it becomes easy for you to transition out, because at the end of the day, you're making minimal decisions. So the goal is really to minimize your decision-making, because as your organization makes their own decisions, you then become, you have the ability to slowly transition. And then the other piece is to over-communicate, right? So to always be communicating that, hey, you know, this person is great, and, you know, who knows, one day this person is taking over and I'm, you know, I have to retire. I mean, as you communicate, people also realize that at some point in time, you have to go, right? And I think when you do that consistently, you delegate power or you give away power, and you communicate that at some point in time you are potentially moving on or leaving. You know, people sort of get the message, and when that happens, it's not a huge shock to the system. It's okay, we understand. You know, good luck in the next part of your life, and things move, you know, as normally, and the organization continues to churn or grow even better, you know.
All right. Thanks so much, Roshan, for speaking to me today about long-term leadership. You've got some really interesting points there, and I think, you know, definitely a lot to take in. If you have missed any of today's show, do go ahead and find the podcast on our website. That's bfm.my/podcasts. You can also go to our BFM app, available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. This has been Raise Your Game on Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.